Stoley. How you doing?
Good, Greg. How are you doing, bud?
Hey, man. It's playoffs. I love it. It's fun to watch. The atmosphere is great. It's going to be rocking again tonight for you. You're just traveling back and forth between the two buildings where you had your best playoff run. So it's got to bring back a lot of memories for you in L.A. and Edmonton.
Yeah, it does. It does for sure. Well, especially here in Edmonton, seeing all the fans, game one and two, and seeing fans in the building and around the city, it brings back some memories for sure, all positive. And kind of wish we were playing in the old barn, to be honest with you. That was that got going pretty good, but this one, Rogers Center, it gets loud, it gets rocking in there, so I'm not surprised at that.
Now you look at the Edmonton Oilers. I'm not sure they've had a great start yet in any of the games in this series. Definitely game one wasn't what they wanted. Game two, there was no goals in the first period, but they didn't do much. What do you think the LA Kings are doing well to mitigate the Oilers having a good start?
Well, I think puck possession in the first period is the first thing that comes to mind is what, winning faceoffs. And with Phil Deneau and Anje Kopitar, they're really, really good at winning big faceoffs. And, all year, all career, they've been good at it. So they're well above 50%. I just think when you control the puck like that, and then structurally our neutral zone is pretty good, pretty solid, and that's something that's hard to get through. Connor could get through it by himself probably sometimes, but not many guys can. And I think those are things that, once you get that possession of the puck and you – we haven't really had our forecheck going as well as we would like. Like especially last game, they did. Game four, the Kings got their forecheck going and got a forecheck goal off of it. So, but it's been a weird series. It's been a weird first period for sure in the series. And you're right. I think the Kings have done a good job off the bat. It's just not really creating much. But puck possession is the first thing that comes to mind.
You mentioned the forecheck of the Kings, and you're right. It really was almost kind of non-existent in the first three games, but they switched up some line combinations. They put Aiefallo on the top. They moved up Grunstrom, Blake Lizotte, Lemieux, and they just seemed to have more kind of tenacity spread across their three lines, and it really worked. Give me your thoughts on Blake Lizotte. You watched him all year long. Has he been this much of like an Energizer Bunny-type player all year?
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. That's what he brings. He drags guys into the fight. Just how relentless he is, the tenacity he brings on the forecheck and, holding on to pucks. And he's not a big guy. So, he does fall down a lot, but as quickly as he falls down, he gets up. And you don't even really realize it sometimes that he just fell down, but he still has the puck. And, that was probably his best game that I've seen him play in his career so far. So we'll see if he can repeat that. But, all year long, a big reason why the Kings are in the playoffs is because of the forecheck and because of how relentless they were and how detailed and structured they are as a team. And the Deneau line, Arvidsson, Moore, that's a big part of the team and how successful they've been this year. But now it's just Todd McClellan's done a good job of lineup changes and plugging guys in, mixing and matching new line combos that have worked. So we'll see tonight, game five, like you said at the top of the show. Very, very important.
As a player, when your coach switches up, like usually there's pairs that stay together and, you have a new guy on the line.
Yeah.
Does it add, like, is it really that big of a difference for you as a player?
I don't think so. You try to play your game and if a guy's coming onto your line or you're going onto another line, you know what type of player those guys are. You're obviously teammates, so you know what he brings and where he likes to go, how he likes to play. If a guy's more of a straight line player, if he's more of an east to west player, hangs onto the puck, loves the cycle, all those types of things. But at the end of the day, you just got to play your game and play the type of player that you are. And if everyone does that and plays the system well and the way they're supposed to as a team, as a group, then you'll probably be successful. So, you're right. Not a lot. It doesn't change, I don't think too much in definitely not how you prepare, but everybody just tries to play their game, play what got them there, play why they're an NHL player, however you want to say it, but as consistent as you can be throughout the game, try to play your game.
Jared Stoll joins us, analyst for the Los Angeles Kings in Edmonton tonight for Game 5. Now, Adrian Kempe led the Kings with 35 goals in the regular season. Had an excellent season, but the Kings are tied at 2 in the series, Jared, and their leading goal scorer doesn't have a goal yet, so I think they got to be happy about that. How would you rate Kempe's play, and what does he need to do to get more involved offensively?
Well, I thought game four was his best game the other night, for sure, getting involved physically, getting involved with his speed, taking pucks to the net. He did that, I think, in the first or second shift there in game four. So I noticed right away, I'm like, okay, well, he knows he needs to step it up, and he knows he needs to be more aggressive, and that's why he got 35 goals this year. Is he was consistent, and he was aggressive using his speed and using his skill and using his shot. So we just haven't really seen much of that, for sure. You're right, in the first four games, but I thought last game was his best. So we'll see how he comes out here in game five. But yeah, it's tough to win any series when your leading goal scorer during the regular season, doesn't score in that round. So, but there's only, there's only game five, so it's a best of three now. So there's obviously some important games, and maybe he'll get one tonight.
You see how, the Kings made some subtle lineup changes, and it really worked. Jay Woodcroft is countering tonight. He'll put Yamamoto up with Kane and McDavid, and they played quite well together when they were a trio in the regular season. McLeod goes up with Draisaitl and Hyman, and then Puljujärvi goes down with Nugent Hopkins. You look at those new combos, Jared, and I know you were a guy, game plan, different thing. What do you think Yamamoto adds that's different on that top line?
Well, I think he's really good at hanging onto the pucks. He can finish plays. You don't want to let the play die with you. I remember, our old coach Craig McTavish here at Edmonton. He goes, you don't want to be a drill wrecker in practice, and you don't want to let the play die with you during games. So, I think he keeps plays alive. He's very tenacious, and much like a Blake Lizotte right on the forecheck, he can come up with pucks, and then you just got to get him to get those pucks to 97. But yeah, I think. Just watching Yamamoto play this series, I didn't watch him much. Watching the team play, you kind of get caught watching Draisaitl and McDavid. But I've been really impressed with Yamamoto, how much he battles, how aggressive he can be for not a very big guy. But wins a lot more battles than I would have thought. So maybe that's a good reason why he's back up on the top line.
Yeah, well, he's definitely, for a small guy, he is pretty good at winning battles, uses his size to his advantage, which is odd considering that he's literally like a buck 55. Like there's no adding on fake LBs. He's listed at 155, and heck, he might be 150 now that the playoffs is a few weeks old. looking at the Kings, they brought in Troy Stetcher. Now I know he got a goal deflected off Duncan Keith's stick, but what do you think Stetcher brought to the back end that was different, maybe better than Spence?
Experience for sure, and he's played with, Edler a lot in Vancouver, so they have that familiarity there, but, just mainly experience, and they're similar players. Like Stetcher, they can both move. They got great feet. They're not going to get beat too much, going wide, and obviously the speed of the Oilers, as a team, it can be a factor, but, he just basically just experience, and, Spence has done a great job since coming into the lineup with all the injuries the team has had, and, there was nothing that he did that, forced him out of the lineup. It was just more of a lineup change to try to get something going. And, it worked with a big goal from Stetcher. And yeah, like you said, I know it went off of Duncan's stick, but, still you get the puck to the net and you get credit with the goal. So, pretty good move there. So obviously he's still in the lineup tonight. And like I said, he can skate, he can move, and he does a good job of defending. So that's what this series is all about, really. Just, the pace of the series, defending, and making sure you try to keep the Oilers to the outside and make them come through you as best you can. And, the two games that were blowout games there for the Oilers, it was just the checking and the defending from the Kings just went out the window, and there was just too much open ice, guys getting on the wrong side of guys and not being responsible defensively. And then a team like the Oilers, they'll make you capitalize, and they did.
Jared Stoll joins us. Jared, you're in a unique position outside of being an analyst. You're also in part of player development. So, you look at a lot of these young guys that you've worked with the last few years. Dursey's 22 and a rookie and is, playing big minutes for the Kings. You got Kapari. You got Jordan Spence, Kalia, Byfield. They're all 22 and under. Mickey Anderson, Gabe Vilardi. How have you, you know, you look at it from, obviously you want to win now, but I think there's part of you that's like, hey, player development, and, you know, you're getting some experience that will be beneficial down the road. The young guys, due to injuries, have probably had to play more than the organization's plan at the start of the year. How do you think the young guys have handled it overall, and have any of them impressed you more that you didn't think maybe was NHL ready, but when they got thrown in, they did great?
Yeah, that's a good question, because there's been so many guys this year due to injuries and COVID that have been getting called up and playing their first NHL games, and maybe a couple of them that wouldn't have got that opportunity if it wasn't for the COVID type of situation. But they've all done a great job, and it's you feel like a proud dad up there watching, you know, and they're playing well, and they actually maybe do something that you've showed them or have taught them or have done. You know, player development is all about reps and, you know, working on fundamental stuff, whether it's wall play or puck protection, you know, shooting a different way, different little angles, changing angles on your shots. When they do something during the game, you know, you feel so good up there watching, and you're just like, you know, you're very proud because you know they're thinking about it and it actually worked. And then they're not just thinking that we're full of BS and don't know what we're talking about, right? So, you know, they've done a good job. I think Durzi and Spence are two guys that maybe, you know, us as an organization or player development didn't think it would take this amount of time to be this effective. Durzi, I think his third or fourth game, was playing already 22 minutes a night, 24 minutes a night, and Jordan Spence was around 20. Like, it was crazy to us, and but that happens, right? That's how you learn, and you just, you know, from where a guy gets drafted and how he plays in his first pro season or whatever, and you just see the progression and the development on where these guys can go. And it's awesome to see. That's something I really enjoy is player development, to see exactly that, to see where these players can go, how quickly they can become NHL players, regular NHL players. And these guys are all playing in the playoffs right now against a very good team in a tough atmosphere on the road, you know, game one and two. Like, just, you're right, the experience these guys are getting right now is unbelievable. And, you know, you talk about, getting experience, playing some playoff games, but now it's 2-2. We have a chance to, you know, a good chance to win this series, and hopefully these guys can play another round of playoff hockey. So you got me all fired up, Greg, asking that question. I could go on here for days about how good player development is and how much fun it is.
Well, I'll say one guy, Quinton Byfield, he's only 19, and a lot of people, and I'm like, Leon Draisaitl, who's a Hart Trophy winner, Art Ross winner, Ted Lind, he wasn't in the NHL either at 19. Like, when you're a big body like that, yeah. I watch Byfield, and like, he's the one guy where I'm like, man, when he really fills in and is able to move that massive frame of his around, like, that's an intriguing prospect. And he's going to get protected the next few years. He's not going to have to take tough matchups with Kopitar and Deneau. And I just, you know, what have you seen from his development? And as part of the player development guy, do you have to keep reminding these guys, because they're so used to always being the best players, that say, hey, you're only 19. And I know it's hard to say, but how do they deal with it, maybe not having the instant success they've become accustomed to at previous levels?
Yeah, some guys deal with it well. Some guys don't. And with Q, like, he's been a healthy scratch this series. So, and actually down the stretch there in the regular season, but like, we actually had to have a little talk with him, or I did, just to remind him, you know what, it's a privilege to play in the NHL, and that was the first time he's ever gotten sat out. He'd never ever been a healthy scratch, these guys. And just to realize that, you know, it's, you got to work for your opportunity, you got to be consistent, you got to show that you're improving, you got to work on your game. You know, before game one, pregame skate, I see Connor McDavid practicing his face-offs after morning skate. And those are the types of things that every centerman should do. You know, I did it after every morning skate. Billy Moores would work with me on face-offs, and it was kind of my part of my routine. And that's things that these guys got to learn too, is if you're a centerman, you should be taking face-offs. You should be working on puck protection. All it is that 5, 7 minutes, 8 minutes after a morning skate. It's not grueling stuff, but you do that after every morning skate, and think of the reps that you've just done and worked on. So, a player like him, he's got a lot more to grow, not only in his body and his size, but just in his game. You know, he needs to learn certain things and learn the importance of certain things. Like, there's a couple little things that happen over the course of this series alone that, you know, there was some happening a goal against, and like, or a big moment in the game where something happened where then, you know, ended up taking a penalty, like certain things that, we've preached that at early on in the season, I'm like, this is what happens. These are the little, simple little things that, you know, could turn around a series. And, you know, it's just a body position or your stick position. And they're just, everything is magnified. And that's development. And he's learned some tough lessons this playoffs alone. So that's what development is all about, really. But, yeah, the sky's the limit for him because of his size, how well he can skate, his hands, his shots. So, yeah, there's a lot to work with there.
Yeah. And lastly, Jared, any other series you've been watching that's caught your attention for, you know, a positive reason or maybe a surprise?
Yeah, I love watching the Calgary-Dallas series, obviously, and then just with Darryl behind the bench and Trevor Lewis and Toffoli and Milan Lucic and playing and knowing those guys really well. So I like to watch those guys. And heck of a game last night. It was just, that's a tight matchup. That's a great playoff series right there. Every game is just it's a battle to get a win, you know. And Darryl said it in the post game, it's such a hard thing to just make the playoffs, but just win one playoff game, it's tough, it's a battle. And so that series, and then I watched the Washington series Florida. When they tied it up, or Florida when they tied it up, and Washington had a chance with an empty net and it hits the side of the net to go up 3-1 in the series, and now it's 2-2. And it's just that's the whole much of a how quickly things can change, and, you know, 1 foot the other way, and Wash has a 3-1 lead. So there's a lot of fun series. It's great that there's a lot of matchups that are tied 2-2, and especially all the games tonight are going to be fun.
In that situation, do you go for the empty net, or would you put it off the boards?
Well, I think now everything's changed, right? Analytics has changed that show that you gotta go for it now. You know, it never was the case back in the day when I played. That was a no-no. That's you'd be a selfish hockey player if you went for the empty net. But you think at it, we were talking about it last night at dinner. I think there's been 16 empty net goals in the playoffs so far, and there hasn't been one goal. That was the first goal scored with a goalie pulled.
Yeah.
So you look at kind of the numbers and the percentages, and I guess they would now tell you that to go for the empty net. So very interesting, but yeah, I don't know. I probably still would have tried to go off the boards or high flip it or something.
Yeah, no, it's interesting just because I saw Rick talking, a former coach, and Biz Nasty were debating it. Biz like, oh, I shouldn't have went for him. Talk's like, are you kidding me? You can't win the cup unless you by playing safe, and you got to go for it there. And you know what? The odds are in your favor. And so it was a fascinating conversation, and one. And I like your point how that's how razor thin the line can be, right? If that puck is basically 3 inches over, it's in the post. Capitals are going home to clinch the series, and all of a sudden it's tied, and they go back. Or sorry, not going home. They're going to Florida. But either way, now the Panthers probably exhaling and breathing a lot easier heading back to Florida for Game 5. So it'll be fun.
Well, now the Panthers have home ice advantage now, and the best team in the league. So like that's if you're a Washington fan or a player, it's like. And then right before that, someone had a breakaway too, I believe, on Washington and didn't score. So definitely had their chance to go up 3-1 in the series.
Yeah. Well, Stoli, we'll see you at the rink Game 5, man. Should be awesome. Appreciate it as always.
Sounds good, yeah. Should be a fun one.